And we are going to go into our next installment of our sermon series that we are doing. And I do want to apologize because I don't know if I ever opened up to explain this new sermon series that we're doing from the Master Outlines. It's called God's Plan of Salvation. And as we look at God's plan of salvation, we first learned that we are sinners, that we are dead in our sin, and now we're going to learn the reality that it is a fact that Christ died for you. And there are three others that we will go through until the end of this study. Because most of us here understand God's plan of salvation, correct? We know all about it, correct? We know key portions of it, right? We know some of it very well, but we don't know all of it in its completeness. And that's what I want to deal with today, is some of that completeness, because we like little pieces of it. I spoke with a gentleman over the weekend, and he told me that he was a believer. I said, what does that mean? Well, I believe in Jesus Christ, he said. I said, well, that's wonderful. What does that mean? And he looked at me, because I'm a preacher and he knows it. He says, well, what do you mean? He says, I believe in Jesus Christ. I said, well, you know what? Satan believes in him too. In fact, he knows him. And he ain't going to heaven. And he just looked at me. I kind of took him back for a minute. And he says, well, I'm saved. I said, really? From what? And I went down this line with this gentleman until he finally spoke to me and said, well, Jesus paid for my debt, for my sin on the cross. And because he paid for my sin, I believe in his death, so I'm going to heaven. I said, wow, that's wonderful. You've begun, but you aren't over. I said, there's a whole lot more yet to do. And today, that's what we're going to talk about, because it is a fact that Christ died for you. We all know it. And there's a bunch of us in this world, and perhaps even some in this room, who will state that fact and say, oh, Jesus died for me. That's wonderful. So what are you doing with it? Because if you're not doing something with it, it's not doing anything for you. Okay? Because it's a fact. All right? That fact is fact for every person on the face of the earth, that Christ died for you individually. Yes, he died corporately, but he died individually for each and every one of us. His death is sufficient for all people, but until we realize that you, Danica Butkus, killed Christ, you, Marion Helwig, killed Christ, you, Mitch Keith, killed Christ, that his death was personal for me, for my sin. Not just for everybody, but all that he did was for no more than me. Do you understand that? Because, buddy, I don't. How can something that is sufficient for everyone have to be taken in such a manner that all of it is mine alone? And every one of us here can say that. But the reason we can say that is because he is an eternal being. He's not a bull. He's not a calf. He's the Lamb of God. For he is God himself. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Romans. That's where we're going to begin today. We're going to be in Romans in the 5th chapter. Romans in the 5th chapter. We're going to begin in verse 6. Please pardon me if I cough up here. The allergies are just... How many of you are being plagued with the allergies this year? Man, it's like the pollen has just got my name on it or something. But from Romans in the 5th chapter, beginning in the 6th verse, We're going to read the words of God's grace into each of our lives. And we need to remember that these words, yes, though they are for everyone, they have to be received personally by each and every one of us. For you see at just the right time, from verse 6, for you see at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Blessed be the word of our Lord God. The key verses there that I want you to look at today is verse number 6. We're going to start there in verse number 6. It says that at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. At just the right time, what does that mean? I think that is one of the most wonderful statements that has been uttered in all of history. At just the right time. You see, God is never late. God is always on time. He's not Pastor Rich showing up 10 minutes after the fact. Okay? My brother-in-laws, when we were scheduled to go away or do something, they would tell me a half an hour different time than everybody else because they knew that I would be on time when they did that. They learned well that Rich is not on time. But God says at just the right time. In other words, when we had reached that place where God knew that we were going to reach up, He reached out. And at just the right time, not before and not after, but at just the right time. In other words, we were at that place where God knew we were going to receive Him. And guess who was there waiting? He didn't show up. He was there waiting. For just the right time. You see, God foreknew all that was going to happen in our lives because we were completely and totally powerless. Isn't that what it says? How many of you think of yourselves as powerless? How many of us, how many people in the world think of themselves as powerless? If you would go out on the street and ask any number of people, are you powerless? They are going to say, no, I'm not. I'm all sufficient. I am God in my world. And the reality is we have to realize, and that's one of the realities of coming. There's my wonderful word. You all are going to hear that the rest of your lives. You know it? A reality. But this is a reality of God. That when we come to that place at just the right time, it's when we recognize that we are powerless, isn't it, Mitch? Because we realize we need that greater power. And that greater power is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It is not something other. It's not, you know, there's a lot of people out there say, well, you know, there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. Well, I'll tell you right now, that's true. Because you're not going to live my life, are you? Okay? And if we're in Christ Jesus, our lives are going to be close. So there's two different ways to get to heaven, right? You got me, don't you? There's only one way, and He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. One way. One way. And He is Jesus Christ. And at just the right time, when we were powerless, God introduces us to Him in such a way that we grab a hold and we find the hope and the faith and the love and the restoration of God through Christ Jesus. The second key verse that I want you to look at is verse 8. It says, but God demonstrated His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were what? Still sinners. Okay? And there's a reason that word's in there, because it would read differently. If it just said, while we were sinners, it says, while we were what? Still sinners. Because in Christ Jesus, we ain't supposed to be no more. I'll repeat that. In Christ Jesus, we ain't supposed to be no more. But yet, while we were still sinners, in other words, when God should have been turning His back on us, Jesus Christ turned His face upon us and shed His blood on the cross of Calvary on our behalf. Did we have to get cleaned up? How many times do we hear the excuses? And how many of our young people out there in our world, how many elderly people out there in our world, how many middle-aged people out there in our world, because it has no age restriction. Well, I need to get some things straightened out in my life before I turn it over to the Lord. Really? How's that going for you? Yep. Might be a while. But Jesus Christ says, while we were still sinners. He doesn't want you cleaned up. He's the one who cleans us up. He wants us as we are. Are we willing to see our state where we are and recognize that we need Him? And recognize that He alone is God. And that He alone, because only God can make that payment. You do understand that. Only God alone can sufficiently suffice God's demand. How can a created thing suffice a holy God? It can't. Only God can suffice God. And therefore, Christ gave Himself up for us. It is a fact. It is a fact that Christ died for us. Now, the second part of powerless that I want you to see and understand, because it says, while we were yet powerless. Where were we, Mitch? What does that word mean? Do you have any idea the depth of that word? Does anybody have any idea of the depth of that word? While we were dead. That is what that word means. While we were dead. We were dead to God. We were dead to God. Now I want you to think about something. When God created Adam, and He fashioned into the man the dust of the earth, was Adam alive? What was he? He was what? No, I said when He created Adam, okay? When he made Eve, He was put to sleep, okay? And there's some of you women out there who wish your husbands would be put to sleep, right? Not permanently, but on occasion. Adam had no life. At that point in time, Adam was a dead creation. And what did God do? He breathed into His nostrils the Spirit of God. He breathed the nephesh into Him. You see, we, in our sin, are like Adam was before the Spirit was given. Because we gave up the Spirit when Adam sinned. God restores us. That's the reconciliation. God restores us through the Spirit. And He brings us back to life. Our powerlessness is death. We are dead. Completely dead. And God breathes the Spirit back into us. And as soon as he does, now we have the power of creation where? In us. I want you to think about that. You go from complete and total powerlessness to being all-powerful. Because now you have the ability to bring others to life. Did you know that? There is no greater power. There is no greater power. Let's continue on. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read 16 through 21. In the book of 2 Corinthians, from the 16th verse of the fifth chapter, we read these words. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. I wish that were true. And it needs to be something that we begin to take into consideration, and we're going to understand that in just a little bit. From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new is come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Again, only God can take away the punishment of God. All right? You and I can't do it. God has to pay that penalty. And he loves us so much. Jesus Christ loved us so much that from the foundations of the earth, from before time, Christ was prepared. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it says that he was crucified before the foundations of the earth. I can't understand that, but I accept it, because he who was sinless, do you realize that had Christ not been crucified, he would have lived forever on the earth? How can I make such a statement? Because he was sinless. Not sinless, sinless. He never sinned. He was born with a sinless nature. He was brought into this world. He was created in the womb of Mary with a perfect nature, just as Adam was created with a perfect nature. But Christ did not sin. And as Adam was intended to live forever, Christ would have lived forever. But Christ gave himself up for us. He took upon himself, he who was sinless, took upon himself our sin. As we spat on him, as we slapped him in the face, as we beat him on the back, as we clubbed him on the head, as we pulled his beard out, as we pulled his hair out. And you all know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? Because we've all done it. He took it all. And he took it directly to hell. He took it to the cross first. And he spoke those great and fateful words. Two of the words from the cross, two of my favorite words from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the second, it is finished. Aren't you glad it is finished? And then he gave up the ghost and he descended into hell. Why did God go to hell? We're going to read about that next. Why did God go to hell? In fact, let's turn there. Let's turn there. Oh, before we do, there's one other piece here I wanted you to look at. Look at 6:1. As God fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Okay? Jesus Christ took upon himself our sin, right? So if Jesus Christ took upon himself our sin, how ought we live our lives? You see, there was a reason I had you all go to the commission today. Because we're told how to live our lives through the commission. And yet, how many of us go about our lives doing and being the things that we want to do and be? How many of us go about our lives satisfying our cravings, looking at what I want rather than asking God what He wants? You know, I was told as I grew up that it's better to ask forgiveness than permission. Right? I was told that as a young man in the machine trades, that it's always better to ask forgiveness than permission. That's a worldly sense. In Christ Jesus, we need to find out what God wants first, and then when we screw up, because we know we're going to, right? Then ask for forgiveness. But we need to seek Him first. Not do what we want to first. Because when we do what we want to first, when we are going after our own pleasures and the things that we want, rather than realizing that we've been bought at a price, we are no longer our own. We are slaves. We were slaves to sin, completely sold out to it, following it, and doing everything it desired. Now we need to be slaves of righteousness. But what I find happening in the church is we become slaves to self. We become slaves to our own needs and our own desires once again. Oh yeah, but well, you know, I want my kids to be well-rounded. So we're going to get our... And parents, please forgive me. I'm going to step on toes today. And I'm going to get some of you adults here in just a minute. We want our kids to be well-rounded. So, you know, we're going to plug them into all these different sports activities, all these different things, because you didn't get to do those things when you grew up, so you're going to live your life through your children. Get a life and allow your children to live a life of Christ. Teach them the way they shall go, and as they are old, they will not depart from it. You teach your kids that it's all about socialization, it's all about doing the things of the world. Guess what they're going to follow? The world. Jesus Christ says right here, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. Don't take the blood of Christ lightly. It was shed from eternity past to eternity future. God, not a bull, not a calf, not a pigeon, God died for you. You cost Him something. And He paid it because He loves you. He paid it because He knew we couldn't. And He created us for a love relationship. What does that speak of the love of God? What do our actions speak of our love towards Him? Think about that. We will put all our stuff over God and plug God in when we have a moment of time. You know, I used to do that. I live my life that way. I am so glad He saved me from death 7 times because it took perfection for me to get it right and realize my life is no longer my own. He died for me. He died for me. He died for me. When am I going to start living for Him? When am I going to start looking to Him and asking His opinion rather than telling Him mine and looking for Him to bless it and wondering why everything's a mess because I'm not getting it right? So many of us today, sitting in this church right now, are walking that road where we're asking God to bless our mess and can't figure out why things aren't going right. When was the last time you asked God before you did something, rather than waiting until afterwards and saying, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry, can you clean that up?" Take not the grace of our Lord in vain, because He was sinless and He became total sin for us on our behalf. Let's move forward. I'm running out of time. I don't have my clock up here. 1 Peter 1. Move to 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, 18 to 23. That's 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 1, from verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Who is the Word of God? Jesus Christ. For God spoke. Jesus is the Word, and all of creation came into being. Jesus is our Creator. And our Creator is the finisher of our faith as well. For He is the one who gave Himself up for us. We were not paid for with gold and precious stones. Okay? You cannot buy your salvation. You can't do enough works to do anything. But the precious blood of the Lamb, the Holy Lamb of God, before eternity ever thought, was set in place to pay a price that He didn't know. And He was willing to go there to create us. I want you to think about that. How many people are on the face of the earth today? 7 billion. There are 7 billion people on the face of the earth today, living right now. How many people have existed in time past? I have absolutely no idea, but it's got to be a huge number, all right? Because there's a lot of cemeteries out there. And we just keep piling them up. I want you to think about how effective the blood of God is. Every person who has ever existed, every person who exists today, and every person who will exist, His blood is sufficient for their payment. You have been called with a costly payment. You have been called unto heaven with holy blood. Blood that never dies. Blood that never loses its strength. Blood that never loses its power. Blood, the blood of God, was demanded, and the blood of God was given. And the blood of God yet today sets us free. The blood of God. Boy, there's a lot of churches out there right now that if I spoke the word blood, there would be heaving in the pews, because they do not believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. But it is only by the blood of Christ that we are set free. God Himself poured out His holy blood, that which is life. Because what did God say? Do not eat of the blood, because what's in the blood? The life is in the blood. Life itself was poured out for you and I, that as we believe in it, we receive its regenerative properties. For that life is unending, even once it exited Christ. It now brings us to life through the resurrection by the power of the Spirit. Turn to 1 Peter 3:18. 1 Peter 3:18. This is my last scripture for the day. 1 Peter 3:18. It says, For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison. You remember I asked you, why did he go to hell? There's your answer. Because when he went to hell, he showed the people who are there who he is and justified himself before them. That no man is without excuse. That every man will know and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. For he preached to those who were in prison. What is that prison? It's called hell, brothers and sisters. And it's still well and kept today until the day of judgment, when Christ shall judge hell itself and it will be thrown into the lake of fire. Reading on from that very point, he says, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. Okay? This speaks of the Nephilim and all of those who were alive at that time, that the world was so wicked that God destroyed everything. This is when hell was created. In it only a few people, talking of the ark, eight in all were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to Him. All that authority Christ has given unto you and I, why do you think I had us begin with the Great Commission? All of creation is under His authority, and He gave us that authority and said, go. Go ye into all the world. Because Christ died for you, and you need to realize it, and we need to give our lives back unto Him, that He may be a blessing unto others, because that very life-giving blood is still effective today unto the saving of every and any person. Why do you think Miss Sally chose the hymn, There's Room at the Cross for You? Because that's a word that each and every one of us should be speaking to every one of our friends, knowing that Christ died for us, and that that blood is still effective today, and the commission has not ended, and we need to begin to live our lives in such a way as to open up the way of salvation. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you want to see this church grow? It's not going to happen because of me. It's going to happen because you believe the Word of God, and you begin teaching and preaching the Word of God to the people in your midst. The church does not grow because the pastor's so good he goes out and evangelizes everybody. The church grows because the church believes their call and the church goes out and does as Christ taught us, to teach, to baptize. What? You mean I'm supposed to baptize people? Yep. How's that grab you? You have the authority, just as we've given Chuck the authority this day in Christ Jesus, the fact that He died for you, you have been given all authority to bring others to life. My question is this: how many of you are going to choose life? How many of you are going to choose His life? Because remember what He said. Do not love your life so much as to shrink back from it, and lose everything, but give it all, and in that you will gain life. Because life in this world, life in and of ourselves, is nothing. It will burn, it is destroyed. But when we live through Christ Jesus, eternity is our home. Would you rise to your feet and pray with me this day? Gracious God, our Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ, and we claim once again our new birthright, the birthright of a king, the birthright of life, that the life of Jesus Christ through the power of the resurrection now resides in us, and all the authority on heaven and in earth too resides in us and is to be given away itself, that, O gracious Lord, as we go out and speak words of kindness, of grace, of mercy, and of rebuke into the lives of those around us, that they would see Christ, receive from Him the glory that He has shed upon the cross of Calvary, and bring them to life. For Lord God, you have given us your grace and your mercy and the power of life through the Spirit by the poured out blood of the Lamb of God. For Lord God, it is a fact. It is a fact that you have died for us. We give thee thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And the church said,
you have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.